Introducing the Two-Way V4, where groundbreaking fuel cell technology meets fresh foam cushioning for the ultimate performance. With fuel cell, each step feels explosive, delivering unparalleled energy return. Paired with fresh foam, experience maximum comfort throughout the game. Its lightweight textile upper offers support and breathability without sacrificing agility. Whether you're hitting the clutch shot or locking down the opposition, the Two-Way V4 gives you the tools to play at a high level. Learn more and purchase the Two-Way for yourself at NewBalance.com.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Welcome back into the Illini Choir podcast. Jeremy Warner, Joey Wagner, and we have to cop up here. We've been slacking on our position previews. It's just because we've been so busy with stories and with actually going to training camp and everything logistically that goes into that. But we still have to do a couple position groups here and important position groups. We got linebacker, defensive back, and special teams remaining. And given how few guys are actually at the linebacker position, Joey, we're going to combine linebacker and special teams into one podcast. And today we're going to focus on defensive back. So the good thing here, Joey, is if people are catching up on these, I love these position previews because people can binge them as they get ready for the season. They might be able to listen to these weeks in advance. The great thing about these three podcasts or two podcasts we're going to put together is we have a little bit more knowledge on these. So 2 weeks of gained knowledge of seeing who's repping, of talking to the staff. These should be our best. So no pressure on these, Joey.
I feel all of the pressure, but because we waited, we can get into somebody who, to be honest with you, Jeremy, we wouldn't have thought to talk about at length 2 weeks ago. We'll get into freshman Matthew Bailey later, but yeah, it's nice to have a better baseline versus being at the end of July just trying to think of things that we've compiled over the course of the spring and the summer.
Yeah, and there's a defensive back in Solo Turner that 2 weeks ago we didn't even know was on the roster, so we can actually talk about him. But yes, defensive back. I think, Joey, this is a position like running back that we feel pretty strongly about, that this is going to be, as long as they stay healthy, a strength of the roster. I don't know if they have quite the proven depth or depth that they do have at running back, given the limited amount of running backs that actually play on the field. But I think you feel pretty good about the core of this unit. Devin Witherspoon last year was an all Big Ten honorable mention guy. 9 pass breakups, 8 tackles for loss. Didn't have a lot of interceptions, but we can dive into some of the other stats here in a second. He's a legitimate number one Big Ten cover corner. Sidney Brown played his best football last year under Ryan Walters. Finally looked free, right, to play the way he wants. When P.J. Fleck compares you to Troy Polamalu, not just because you look like him, but you play like him, that's a huge thing. And then Quan Martin, who we know this staff raves about and kind of calls an unsung hero, but he's definitely found a home at nickel. So we can dive individually into each one of those, Joey. But when you have three guys that you feel like can be all Big Ten, at least honorable mention kind of guys going into the season, that's a big strength for a program like Illinois.
Yeah, it really is. Those three can cover up a lot. And I'm glad you mentioned that about Quan Martin, because he is overlooked. And Ryan Walters said, and then Jeremy, I know you broke it down in the position preview that you typed out, you know, Quan Martin got off to kind of a rough start, but really played very well after, I think it was the Virginia game, if I'm not mistaken. The Virginia game's kind of the base marker of everything that changed after that. Ryan Walters went down to the field and everything kind of flipped after that. But Ryan said, look, maybe people don't always notice him because they don't throw to the slot, because he's really good covering the slot. But he does a lot for them, and his versatility is super important. And really, under Ryan Walters, he and Sidney Brown had their best season of football last year. I mean, that was the best we've seen out of them. Maybe Quan didn't have quite the picks he had as a freshman. You'll remember, I think he had like 4 that year. And same with Sidney Brown, but just collectively, they really anchored that back into that defense. And obviously Kirby Joseph, right? Like that's a loss that we'll get into them having to replace. But those two coming back with Devin Witherspoon, you feel really good about that.
Yeah, You know, I've been doing a lot of questions to kind of talk about these, Joey. And you could do like a hot takey, who's the most important or indispensable defensive back among those three? I can't give you a good answer. I think they're all so highly impactful. If you had to ask me who I think has the best chance of being drafted the highest, I'd say Devin Witherspoon. He's starting to get some draft buzz. And I think finding cover corners, guys who can play with physicality, he's buffed up so much. I mean, he looks a completely different player, even from last year. I mean, you can just see it in his arms, but also the rest of his body. Like, he's proven himself as a big-time cornerback. I remember 2 years ago when he was going up against David Bell, and he took ripped an interception away from him, and then he had one against Bo Melton of Rutgers. So I guess if I had to say, like, Devin Witherspoon's probably going to be the highest drafted, the potential to be the highest drafted, but man, Sidney Brown at times we were talking about as a defensive MVP, and this staff talks about like Quan Martin was a potential defensive MVP. I'm glad you brought up that Virginia game though, Joey, because that changed so much. You know, Devin Witherspoon had struggled, right, the first 3 weeks of the season last year. The free safety position was Derek Smith, I believe, and Sidney Brown kind of playing that. They struggled early in the season. Quan Martin struggled early in the season. But then midway through that game, Kirby Joseph gets put in. We'll talk about replacing him. But Ryan Walters kind of found this group and found what fits them best, and then it took off from there.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. And that I still think Ryan Walters going down to the field from the box was so important. Or the field, the box of the field, excuse me. That was so important and just kind of and we talked about it before, Jimmy. He's got that. He's got that it factor that you can see why it would make a difference down there. But yeah, it's still weird to talk about an Illinois defense in the way that we're talking about what they did, especially in conference play last year, because we just haven't had those conversations for a few years now. But it's real, and it's probably overlooked, to be honest with you, by us and nationally or Big Ten Midwest wise. Like, it probably is overlooked. That's not a knock, because why would you think to look at it like that?
It kind of reminds me, you know, Indiana has had strong secondaries recently, despite not having, like, they've had a, you know, 2020, 2019 were really good for Indiana, but they've consistently had good secondaries. You got to fill it out everywhere else, right? You got to have good quarterback play. You got to have good play in the line of scrimmage. But Illinois had a pretty good, decent run of defensive backs here, dating back to, you know, Clayton Fegelum, Tony Adams got a 6-figure contract. Kirby Joseph got drafted. I mean, Bennett Williams was pretty good before he left. And Nate Hobbs, of course, very, very good. But last year, I want to go back, Devin Witherspoon, first beginning of the season, and back-to-back losses to UTSA and Virginia, he gave up 14 receptions on 19 targets for 193 yards. That's not very good. Quan Martin, at the beginning of the season, the first four games, 17 receptions on 21 targets, 287 yards and a touchdown. I forget what game it was. Was it UTSA where he just kind of got lost? Right, that ball was thrown up in the air, and
it felt like it should have been an interception. Correct. Yeah,
and you're thinking, "Oh man, what is going on? This defense hasn't changed much." But then during conference play, Devin Witherspoon was basically a shut down corner. Right, like the numbers back that up. Final 9 games, according to PFF, 17 receptions on 32 targets, like a 55% completion rate, 168 yards, 0 touchdowns. It's 19 yards per game, Joey. And then Quan Martin during the last 8 games, 15 receptions on 33 targets. It's under 50%, of course. 161 yards, 0 touchdowns, 20 yards per game, under 5 per target. Those guys were great cover guys late in the season. And Tony Adams was really good, too.
And as I recall, there weren't a lot of missed tackles in that conversation as well, which we've seen to be a problem with this Illinois, really a defense as a whole, but the secondary was not free of blame on that. Real quick about the Virginia game, you talked about UTSA, you're like, oh my gosh, this hasn't really changed. Think back, like, I don't think you and I noticed it because it was 11 a.m. in Virginia. People in Champaign were just waking up to have a cup of coffee. I know you don't wake up at 10 a.m., Jeremy, but some people were just waking up to have a cup of coffee, and Illinois was down 14. Like, just think of, I don't want to belabor the point, but just think of the feeling after the first like 10 minutes of game time of that Virginia game. Like, it felt like, oh boy, this is like, that's what makes the turnaround so impressive, and how good it was at the back end. And I think it's if you're a fan and you're looking at this, it's maybe what inspires the hope that this can continue with the understanding you have to replace some pretty key guys, but to continue to kind of elevate or maintain that level, because it wasn't just one or two games. It was a pretty strong stretch of games in that back half of the season.
Yeah, this is a really good group, but they do have two guys they have to replace, right? So let's get into that. Actually, before we do that, let's talk about Sidney Brown, because this is a guy that in 2019 was an All Big Ten third team selection. Wasn't that consistent, but made big plays. I think that Michigan State, you know, return for a touchdown certainly solidified him in there. Certainly had the games to get that kind of recognition, but always been a guy that wasn't as consistent, and you wondered why. But last year, Joey, maybe he didn't put up the counting stats, the turnovers, but he led the team in tackles. And if you just watch the games, you saw how big of an impact he made, especially in the box, being in that strong safety role. But the way Ryan Walters employed him, the way he just had Sidney just basically toy with quarterbacks, right? And that's something we should bring up, is Quan Martin playing nickel after playing corner and safety. Like, that ended up being the best spot for him. Devin Witherspoon playing more press coverage rather than just sitting in zone all the time. That seemed to fit him well. And then Sidney Brown, not at free safety, but strong safety, and just kind of moving around and confusing people. We didn't see a lot of pre-snap disguising under Lovie Smith. It was kind of like, here's what we're doing. We're just going to wait for you to make a mistake. Ryan Walters let Sidney Brown do what he does, which is he's competitive. He loves toying with quarterbacks, and that confused quarterbacks. And I always say, try to confuse college quarterbacks. They're 18 to 23 years old, whatever it is, and they're going to make some mistakes. So make it difficult on them pre-snap so they have to make quick decisions. Sidney Brown was a big part of that. And then, of course, he's just such a hard hitter. PFF never loves him. I don't understand. Like, he had like a 65 grade last year for them, which is okay. But I thought he played as well as he has throughout his career, even if he wasn't all Big Ten third team like he was as a junior.
Is there like a grade to give out for just passes the eye test? Because if you were to just like be dropped in from another planet and turn on the Illinois defense last year, I would think he would have been the one. If he wasn't the first person you noticed, it was probably one of the top three. I mean, you just, the way that, I think the trust that Ryan Walters put in him is probably a little understated in how much that mattered to him. And he's talked about it, like, just Sidney, go. Like, to have someone believe in you. Remember when he was a free safety, dude, it wasn't very pretty at times. I mean, he was kind of, it just didn't feel like that was it.
I always go back to, you know, Nate Hobbs was always the guy who's like, guy got the big play. I think that was 2020. But it was always Nate Hobbs looking back at Sidney putting his arms up. So, like, that's the hard part when you watch film or you're watching the game, is you don't know what the responsibilities were, but it seemed like the communication wasn't very good. Felt like there were always breakdowns happening. And the way I read it is, and I'm not saying Nate was not to blame for any of that stuff. I don't specifically know, but it always felt like there just wasn't a lot of, there was too much thinking going on with Sidney. It felt like he was overthinking, and I think anybody that's played sports is, if you're thinking too much and not just reacting and just going, I think that's when you start making mistakes, or you start being a little mechanical rather than just being a football player. And I think Ryan Walters gave him the freedom to just kind of, you know, you got to know your keys, you got to know your responsibilities out there, but just go make plays. And as Ryan Walters says, pull the trigger. And Sidney Brown certainly pulls the trigger. I mean, go back to that Purdue game. The huge hit he had on the tight end was just ridiculous. And he was doing that throughout the season. Minnesota, he was crushing people out there.
You know, I know you asked him, and I still don't think we've gotten the entire answer for how much Ryan Walters just lets him just do whatever the heck he wants pre-snap, right? I mean, he has responsibilities, but just – this season, just watch Sidney Brown before pre-snap on one defensive possession. The I don't know if he's got a lot of boundaries there for what he can and can't do, because he, and he's smart. He's a really smart football player, and he knows which buttons to press. Like, that's not all Ryan Walters, like, go do this, go do this. That's a lot of instinct, and the trust to have that instinct and use that instinct. He is really fun. Like, he's fun to watch after the ball is snapped, but just watch him one possession. Keep your eyes trained on him, whether it's at a game or on TV, because it's super fun.
Yeah, and I think Jay Layman and I broke this down at one point last year. It makes a quarterback not guess at what you're doing. Is he screwing with me? Is he actually going to blitz when he comes up and shows himself at the line of scrimmage? Or is he going to drop back 15 yards into coverage and play cover two or cover three, whatever it is? Like, that's where I think you have the advantage. Well, with Lovie Smith, the guys just knew what was happening. It's like, oh, this is going to be cover two. Give me 1 second after snap. I can figure that out, know it for sure, and I know where I'm going right away. It gives you a little bit more time, and it's why I think last year they were able to rush the passer a little bit better, and these guys were able to confuse quarterbacks and take advantage of it, like a Kirby Joseph on the back end. So I've kind of called him the amoeba of the defense. It's like he's always shifting and changing shape of what the defense looks like, but he's a huge key to it, Joey. And you and I know they love Devin Witherspoon, but the way Ryan Walters has talked about Sidney Brown this offseason, I mean, he said it on the record now, like, he had as good of an offseason spring, Ryan has said, than anybody he's coached. And he's coached some guys who have played in the NFL.
And, I mean, it's ultimately isn't the end-all be-all, but he and his twin brother, Chase, made the freaks list for The Athletic. And usually, you know, our job, Jeremy, is to see who's talking about what. And that's kind of a list we could have ignored for a while, right? Like, Illinois just didn't have a lot of dudes on that list, so... Sidney Brown, you're starting to see it a little bit more. And I would imagine, you know, maybe a bye week, maybe one of those mid weeks where some NFL scouts or, you know, people who cover scouting for the NFL, you're going to see a thread of Sidney Brown somewhere going. And I don't think Ryan Walters is just fake hyping these guys. Like, it's real. It's pretty genuine what he's saying. And to say it on the record is, I mean, it's telling, and they really mean it.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify has got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
All right, Joey, let's get into the you got two big holes to fill, though, in the secondary, right? So as good as we feel about those three guys, you got some unproven guys stepping up into roles where Tony Adams had his best season, one of the best defenders for Illinois last year. And, of course, let's start with this. Who replaces Kirby Joseph, Joey?
Kendall Smith appears to be the front runner right now. And remember, he interesting guy. Wasn't he Lovie's second recruit?
Well, he was
ever
tied for first. Ricky Smalley and Kendall Smith committed at the exact same time. I was 20 feet away, Joey. They both walked up to him at the same time. They said something to him, and Lovie gave him a big bear hug. It was two huge recruiting wins at the time. You know, Ricky was the four-star. you know, top 10 in-state guy. Kendall was a top 20 good athlete out of a great program at Bolingbrook.
Yeah, and he's still here. And he flirted with the transfer portal. The staff pushed to get him back. He, after Kirby Joseph especially, went to the NFL. And now you're seeing it that this is probably Kendall Smith's best chance at a consistent starting job. He's kind of bounced around a little bit himself, but back there at free safety, we'll see. I mean, I the question is who's pushing him, I think, is what I don't know. Is it Keontae Curry? Is he a guy, the redshirt freshman, who's coming up to push Kendall Smith? And, you know, we'll see what happens. But right now, as you go into Wyoming, you would think it's him.
Yeah, I mean, as Ryan Walters has explained, like, one guy's not going to get five interceptions and replace Kirby Joseph, right? Eight total turnovers. He had three fumble recoveries, too. That's not the expectation for Kendall Smith. I think the expectation for Kendall Smith is to be a veteran, to be a vocal leader out there, and when you have a chance to make plays, make plays. I don't think they expect him to be as rangy as Kirby Joseph. I don't think they expect, you know, four-plus interceptions or anything like that. I think they expect him to be a solid starter and to give them at least a bridge to the next couple guys because, you know, I think Keontae Curry is very talented, but it sounds like he's not quite consistent yet. Kendall should know this defense. He's a veteran. He's played some significant snaps, whether that's at wide receiver, corner, safety. He has played. But it's also one of those things that, like, you know, Kendall's long. He's 6'3". He's physical. Probably not. He's not as fluid or as great of an athlete as Kirby Joseph, though. So to me, it's like Ezekiel Holmes, right? I think if you get a solid starter there, you'd feel pretty good. But you could also see something where, man, Kendall has been here 5 years. He's never been a real starter outside of like some COVID stuff or injuries. He's, you know, coming in, had to play cornerback, never set the world on fire, but he's been a really good program guy, a really good veteran, a guy you love having on your team, love having in your secondary. And when Kirby Joseph left, Kendall Smith made a lot of sense to bring back rather than, hey, go down to the MAC and maybe you get your opportunity. So I could see an instance where Kendall Smith comes in and plays really well and allows all those other guys to continue making plays and then has a couple interceptions. I could also see, you know, Kendall 4 or 5 games in. Does a guy like Keontae Curry just have a higher ceiling and then he's more ready to play? I could see both those things happening, Joey.
Yeah, that's exactly right. Is it as unknown, Jeremy? I guess everything was unknown last year going into the season. But I don't know, and I'm not making the comparison saying he's going to be Kirby, but like there's just as much unknown when Kirby Joseph went out there to start in games last season. And, you know, we'll see. But I guess
the one thing is, like, there was more known about Kendall than there was about Kirby at this point last year.
Yeah, and it sounds like Kendall Smith has had a good spring. Yeah. He's had a good summer. He's still in the driver's seat by our read for that free safety spot. They didn't go add anybody in terms of the transfer portal. Like, just I agree with you. I don't think you need a rock star at that position. Now, you're not turning one away.
No.
You're not going to tell Kirby Joseph, hey, man, dial it back. We don't need all. Like, you're going to take it if you get it, but you don't – I don't think that they need that kind of production from that position. I think a solid starter is good, but you want those younger guys to push a little bit and try to challenge that spot. And I think for the longest time, Jeremy, you and I thought that was Prince Green. I don't know that I think he's a free safety to this point. So maybe it's Keontae Curry. Maybe it's someone else, you know, Mr. We don't know yet, right? But I just – solid is good in this defense.
The guys we saw in our full open practice on Saturday repping at the position were Kendall Smith, followed by Keontae Curry, followed by TJ Griffin, the freshman, who Ryan Walters told me has the best ball skills on the team. So Prince Green, who was free safety during most of the spring from what we saw, and we talked to the coaches about, long, athletic, kind of built like Kendall, felt like maybe there's a higher ceiling there. Doesn't seem like he's in that mix anymore. So it seems like Kendall has held off. I think that's a good sign. The one guy who's interesting to me out of this whole safety group is Solo Turner. You know, former 3-star prospect, started his career at Baylor, started games at Hawaii last year before transferring to Illinois. Saw him make one great interception against one of the fourth or fifth string quarterbacks when we saw him. Certainly has length. He looks like a strong safety to me, but we don't know. So I just want to mention his name, Joey, that he was an interesting addition late in this process. I think it's more about maybe Prince Green, Keyonte Curry than Kendall Smith, though. I think that adds depth, but I think it also adds somebody beyond Kendall next year who could play in case Prince Green and Keyonte Curry and the freshmen aren't quite ready next year.
Yeah, we have to say with Solo Turner, we don't know that he's going to be eligible.
Correct.
They're still waiting on a waiver to see if he'll be eligible. He's transferred. This is second transfer, his third school. So that's something to monitor. Maybe that was a multi-year type of evaluation,
yeah,
I guess. But I'm interested to see, because I really like the Ezekiel Holmes comparison there you made, where it's like, okay, will they hold it? Will they hold that spot? And I don't know if this is a good transition, Jeremy, but I think we thought about that at the other cornerback spot with Taz Nicholson.
Yeah, I do want to mention, we'll get to it a little bit later, but another freshman who's really impressed them at safety. We'll get into that here in a second, but great transition, Joe. You're really good at this. Taz Nicholson stepping into a role where man, Tony Adams – seemed like that 2019 season, he took off as a corner. Then they kind of moved him around again. But, man, they found a home again at cornerback, and he signs a six-figure guaranteed contract with the Jets. Seems like he has a pretty good chance of making that roster, but he certainly made some money already in the NFL, which was a question 2 years ago, right? So now Taz Nicholson's time, and Taz got some starts last year. And to be honest, it was a struggle. When he was on the field, it wasn't all that good. Tony Adams comes back and is a starter and plays far better. Taz more undersized at cornerback, but he's added a lot of strength, and it seems like he's gained a lot of confidence, Joey. We haven't talked to him yet, but just talking with Aaron Henry, talking with Ryan Walters, it seems like Taz Nicholson is a redshirt sophomore. After getting first-team reps, after getting his feet wet, thrown in the fire last year, they seem to have more confidence in him, and he seems to have more confidence in himself. But my thing on Taz Nicholson is, you better be ready, because you're going to be the guy that they're going to attack. I mean, when you have Quan Martin, Sidney Brown, and Devin Witherspoon, they're probably going to pick on Taz Nicholson until he proves himself.
Yeah, and there's going to be competition behind Taz Nicholson to make sure he is proving himself. But I think it's telling – that's what we have to look at. I mean – when you look at guys who, like, I don't think we were watching Sidney Brown and who is going to push him for a starting spot. I don't think we were doing that for Quan Martin. But there are certain positions on this defense and really the offense where you look and say, will he hold that? Because we think he's a starter, but you see how they attack the portal with Terrell Jennings. And you just, like, there are positions where you wonder if they're going to hold on to it. And just be honest, has a spot. Just because of what we've seen from him on the field and the limited sample size, you wondered about that. But the fact that we think, and again, we don't see practices, we're not blessed with the depth chart, maybe like some other programs, the people who cover other programs are, but like we think he still got that spot.
Yeah.
And to hold it through the spring, and for what we believe, hold it through, we'll talk to Aaron Henry later today, the first week and a half, 10 days of camp, like that to me, like those are the nuggets we have to pick up on. And I think that's a good sign for him that he's still in that spot to our belief.
Yeah. And the fact that they're saying good things, we see him repping with the ones, the one main practice we saw. Terrell Jennings got here late too. So I think that's the benefit. He's got to prove himself after transferring from a D2 school. The one thing with Jennings is I bet Taz is probably quicker. I mean, Taz is a pretty quick guy. Terrell Jennings is longer, he's stronger. I would imagine he's more physical, right? Just based on his physical traits. So that'll be interesting. If Taz struggles early, Terrell Jennings is certainly somebody who can come in and play. Another undersized guy who, you know, Aaron Henry, when I talked with him last week, really raved about and I took note of was Tyler Strain. Out of all those DBs that, you know, the cornerbacks that Lovie Smith and Kenodo Hudson recruited in that weird class of 2020, Tyler Strain was kind of the unheralded guy. You know, Daniel Edwards was a pretty highly ranked guy, now at slot receiver. D.D. Snyder seems like he's more still on the developmental team. Tyler Strain's getting second team reps, right? So I think Henry raved about his first week of camp, said he's been fabulous. He's 5'9", 180, so not that big, but he's added a lot of strength. And the one thing you liked about him as a prospect was he is lightning fast. He is really, really quick. So we haven't seen a lot of Tyler Strain, played like 8 reps last year on defense, but he's a name to monitor, Joey. He's just a kind of guy that, hey, if the first guy struggles, if there's an injury, maybe we see some Tyler Strain at some point.
Yeah, and you need that because there's not a lot of proven depth, and he's included in that. There's not a lot of proven depth at this position, but he does seem like the redshirt freshman who's most likely in the two deep or kind of on the cusp of getting that opportunity. So it's fascinating what they might need out of him this year. Could it be like, are there similarities to what they might need out of him and what they needed out of Taz? Someone to go, yep. You know, they had Taz push Tony. Taz Nicholson pushed Tony last year, Tony Adams. Can you see that go the other way now where Tyler Strain is kind of pushing Taz Nicholson for that spot?
And maybe pushing Jennings. I mean, let's be honest. Sure. Like, Illinois had Jennings, but he's never played at this level, right? So, like, he's still got something to prove. So, you know, maybe Tyler Strain can win that number three job, and maybe at some point that leads to the number two job at some point, whether it's injury or poor performance. We got a lot of freshmen on this defensive back group. They got a couple more coming in, 3 more at least so far coming into the class of 2023. So there is some long-term hope and talent in this room as well. I mean, Strain, Snyder, Green, and Curry are all redshirt freshmen. And then you have 5 true freshmen, Joey. Elijah McCantos, Xavier Scott, Tyson Rooks, TJ Griffin, and Matthew Bailey. I think this would have been a fun conversation, but we probably would have leaned one way a couple weeks ago. But which freshman makes the biggest impact this year?
Yeah, you're right. Two weeks ago, I've been beating the drum for Elijah McCantos. I don't know that I think I'm that wrong on that, but I think that's changed over the last 2 weeks with Matthew Bailey. We saw him, Jeremy, repping with the ones and twos in the open practice that we had now. Sidney Brown was not participating in those practices. He's back now. But like that was telling, and I don't think that was a one-off either, Jeremy. I don't think that was just, hey, our guy's out, we got to put, someone's got to do this. Like, there's real buzz. Brett Bielema was effusive in his praise of Matthew Bailey. I mean, it was like, he said, and I'm paraphrasing, I don't like to put this kind of stuff on freshmen, but I don't think I'm hyping up anything that's not there. That's after 9 days of camp, Jeremy, 10 days of camp. Like, there's, I think he's going to play. The question I have is, like, how? Because I don't anticipate, if Sidney Brown's not on the field, something's probably gone wrong. And Sidney Brown is directly in front of him, to our belief. But are there ways they can get both of them on the field? Like, that was credit to Pat Ryan, the high school, Illinois High School Relations, and is a director, mm-hmm. I guess, a longtime Metamora coach. He kept up on that one. After Matthew Bailey had a not very good workout in Champaign, did not get an offer, goes back to Moline, puts together a really nice senior season. Ryan Walters didn't see the workout. He had back surgery. Like, I guess that's probably a good thing. Ryan Walters said that he wasn't there to see that. And obviously Matthew Bailey had a good season. Ryan Walters went. They liked what they saw. But come on, Jeremy, we didn't see. Like, this was not what we thought we would see when we walked into Memorial Stadium on Saturday.
No, he's the surprise of camp. There's no doubt that he is the surprise of camp, because before he picked Illinois, and while Illinois fans can think recruits always fall when they pick Illinois, they don't think about the guys who are 2 stars who automatically turn into 3 stars once they get reevaluated because they commit to Illinois. Like, he was a 2-star prospect. He didn't have any other FBS offers when Illinois came along, but he's long, he's athletic, and the thing Ryan Walters raves about him is his cognitive ability. His ability to learn the defense, see the defense. Like, he already dropped the Sidney Brown comp, right? Like, he said he looks like Sidney. He's just maybe a little bit longer than him. Given what Ryan thinks about Sidney, that's a lot. Now, that's a lot of hype to live up to at some point, but the fact that they're throwing that out there this early, they think he can handle that. So that's the fun part of training camp that I miss of not seeing more of it, is guys like Matthew Bailey who kind of come out of nowhere and say, oh, this guy's going to play. And that's the fun of recruiting and the inexact science of all of these 3-star prospects is, you know, you look back at some of those, that 2017 class for Illinois, go back and look. Some of the lowest guys on that list made the biggest impact. And that's the fun part about it. You know, Sidney Brown was one of those guys in 2018. who was kind of a late guy, but they found him, and he ended up making a big impact. Like, I'm looking at the bottom half of that class. You had Bobby Rountree in 17, Nate Hobbs, Isaiah Gay, Bennett Williams, you know, guys that weren't that, Alex Palcheski, and guys at the top of the list who were obviously more hyped than them. Some of them worked out like Kendrick Green, others didn't. And that's the fun part of kind of separating, you know, recruiting 4 or 5 years later, is maybe a guy like Matthew Bailey ends up being as impactful as any of them. And, you know, it seems like he's going to see the field at some point, Joey, whether it's special teams, whether it's rotational role at safety, whether it's a dime package or whatever they want to throw out there. Seems like Bailey can make an impact in that in-the-box safety kind of role. Because that's not a surprise to me that he'd be a strong safety, because I think he can eventually be a linebacker. I think he's got that kind of frame, that kind of size and physicality.
Well, do you remember Brett Bielema's press conference? I think Matthew Bailey was he the set, like the traditional side? He was not an early signing day, is that right? Yeah. Am I remembering that correctly? Yeah. I remember we were in the State Farm Center when Brett Bielema was talking about him, and Brett Bielema loosely, as I remember, kind of said, we just wanted to get him in here. I think he threw about every position on the field that isn't quarterback out there. Like, I could see him playing here, and here. It's like, okay, well, where's it going to be? And obviously, he's found a home, we think, at safety, or maybe move up to linebacker. But, man, I don't know that anyone – and you're right, that is the fun part of it, because when he got the commitment, it was like, all right. I mean, let's be honest, Jeremy didn't look very good on paper. And obviously, that was not right to our knowledge to this point.
Yeah, it's more like okay, that's an interesting flyer, right? Is that going to work out?
Or flyer's a good way to put it.
Is this desperate? Is this, you know what I mean? Like, that's how fans are going to react when a two-star guy all of a sudden is committed to Illinois. Now you dive into his film, and there's things to like. There's, you know, things to poke holes in, but it was kind of like, okay, we'll see on this one. It wasn't like, oh, what a huge get. Like, you know, you get Gabe Backus on signing day over Tennessee. You're like, oh, that's a big one, right? Matthew Bailey, it's like, well, we'll see in 3 or 4 years. Maybe we'll see in a year. That's the interesting part. With
3 or 4 months.
Yeah. All right, Joey, is this the strength of the defense?
I think so. Yeah, I think so. Like, I guess the argument I'm having with myself is the top three on the defensive line, with Keith Randolph, Johnny Newton, and, like, to our belief, Calvin Avery. But yeah, I think it is. I think the way they're talking about those guys they have in the back end, the way that those guys have performed, I think it has to be.
If you tell me Devin Witherspoon, Sidney Brown, and Quan Martin stay healthy, yes, I think so.
Yeah.
Because I think those three guys are as proven as Keith and Johnny. And Keith and Johnny are guys that have so much value, because it's hard to find, as Illinois is finding on the recruiting trail. It's hard to find and get those guys, right? Like, it's easier to find defensive backs. And I think that proves out throughout college football, when a team like Illinois and Indiana can churn out good quality NFL prospects in the secondary. But I think because of the experience, because of the talent level, because I could see all those guys in NFL training camps next year. But if one gets hurt, that's when you start to get the depth thing, right? You start worried about depth again. And I don't know if the number three cornerback is ready to be a starter. I don't even know if the number two guy is ready to be a starter. I don't know if free safety is going to be a solid player for them, or a good player for them, right? Like, so there are some depth questions I have here. I think there's talent. It's just unproven. I think Solo Turner, Terrell Jennings helped that somewhat to give you a higher floor back there. But I do think if this group stays healthy, it should be very good. But I kind of feel that way about the defensive line and the linebacker crew, right? Like, I feel like if they stay healthy, they should be pretty good. But one injury, two injuries, all of a sudden this could become an issue. But if I'm putting a healthy defensive back group up against Purdue, which is the best passing offense in the Big Ten West, I feel pretty good. And if I have to put these guys up against Wisconsin running backs and tight ends, I feel like they can do their job as well. I think it's a good group when healthy.
I think I threw this comparison out there last week, and I'm talking myself more and more into it. The defensive backs especially remind me so much of kind of the state the offensive line was in last year, where you have a bunch of veteran, proven guys in your ones, maybe a couple guys who can extend in the rotation. And then there's like no junior sophomores, redshirt sophomores. It's all freshmen and redshirt freshmen. Like there's, and it was the same thing we talked about the offensive line. Ooh, if they get hurt, what happens? Yeah. And I think there's some similarities there with this defensive backfield. And you've seen Illinois address offensive line. They brought in every high school freshman imaginable. And then they added a bunch of defensive backs in the high school class. Like, I think there's some similarities there.
And I'll end with this, Joey. Another reason I have such confidence in this group, they got pretty good coaches. Like, Ryan Walters is great at what he does. Aaron Henry proved to be pretty good at what he does. If you know, I'm still debating my season prediction of how many wins for this team. I do have faith in the development ability of this coaching staff. I think they mostly earned that last year. The one position we didn't was the quarterback play caller. I think the other positions did a pretty good job. Now you can say one did a solid compared to a great job like Ryan Walters, but Ryan Walters and I think Aaron Henry did a great job. So I think those coaches put these guys in real positions to succeed.
Yeah, and I think one of those guys is on the very fast track to being a head coach in Ryan Walters. And I think Aaron Henry, Jeremy, we've talked about this. That guy's got, at minimum, defensive coordinator written all over him. And it was just the whole body of work that he has. Like, Brett Bielema did a really nice job putting this coaching staff together, save really for the one replacement he's had to make very quickly. But man, those two guys have a lot ahead of them in the coaching game.
All right, that's the defensive back preview. Hope you enjoyed that. We got one more coming up for you with linebacker and special teams. Thanks for listening to the Illini Inquirer podcast. You can go back, binge all of these position previews to get you ready for the Illini football season, which as we record this is 16 days away. It's coming up very quickly to kick off against Wyoming. For Joey Wagner, I'm Jeremy Warner. Everybody have a great day. Take care of each other, and we'll talk to you next time on the Illini Inquirer podcast.
Paramount Plus and the National Park Foundation present A Mountain of Zen. Are you still listening? Good. Take a deep breath. You needed a break. This Earth Week, you can live stream 7 national parks for 7 days on Paramount Plus. So, yes, you can literally stream a stream. Paramount Plus, official streaming partner of the National Park Foundation.